Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Directions for Truth show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening. My computer is going absolutely crazy. So I'm not sure.
You're so perfectly in alignment. You know, we've just gone into Mercury retrograde, and that is always such a fun time.
I don't know for
the world of electronics.
I don't know why I shut down, but I had this perfect announcement. But for everybody, welcome to Directions for Truth, and we alternate with Happy Hour, in which we do your vocal prints and analysis, and had a great time last week doing neuroplasticity, seeing if people's brains were working, if people could talk. And we trade off with Direction for Truth. We do Direction for Truth because we think you have a right to know. And I had this wonderful PowerPoint video thing up here, and I can't see it. I can hear it if I play it, but I can't see it. So can you tell me how we can see this, Richard, if you're looking
can you,
at...
Can you hold down the control key and the tab key and tap through your various windows that are open?
Control and tab. Okay,
yeah.
Oh, dear.
Does that show anything?
Let me go back and see bits at once.
Do you have two monitors going? Is that possible?
I have three.
All right.
And it's not open, but if I hit this little guy right here, this orange,
this
starts talking, but it's Windows Media Player, but I can only hear it. I can't see it. I had it up. And what's on it is our Direction for Truth face or flash page or whatever you call that, and how it's looking in many different directions at once for what the truth is. So I thought people would enjoy that. So if I edit this, I'll put that back in. We are simultaneously broadcasting on WebEx, where we're going to show some things about the presidential elections and what's going on with it, and also show you or share with you our comments of what is going on. Do you have any announcements for the show? Oh, I forgot to say we're sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, and we have a large campaign going on where we are training people in our techniques and giving them software totally free of charge. So if you want to be involved in that, and our next month's show or workshops are going to be about maintenance and repair of your body and biochemistry. It's one of the largest computer programs we have, and we are offering this two-day course to the public for free. Now, if you want to pay us for it, that's wonderful, but if you want to be involved, please get in touch. Okay, I'll turn it over to you for your, Jan, one of our listeners, I'm going to go ahead and mute your mic because we're hearing a lot of things in the background. If you want to hear better, because I'm not always as clear or as loud as I ought to be, you can join Richard over at Blog Talk Radio. You want to tell them how to do that?
You can either join over here by dialing in at 347-850-1407 and listen to the show there. I always find the audio stream over at Blog Talk Radio to be pretty darn good. And otherwise, you could go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and for this week's show, click on the Direction for Truth show. And there's a link there that will take you right to the web page for the Blog Talk Radio show so you can stream it and listen online. And if you sign in, you can also join in the party effects happening in the chat room. all sorts of action happening there.
We have
and
go ahead.
We have, that's right. We have chat everywhere. Sherry's managing chat at WebEx, which shows our video feed for people who are seeing that. That link is also available at the Sound Health Options Direction for Truth page. And then I have a chat over at Blog Talk Radio. You can never have too much chatting. I unintentionally have a couple of announcements that will fit into what we're going to look at today with looking at, oh boy, politics of the day. Yikes. My one comment is about Scott Walker, who just dropped out of the race. Scott Walker was hugely, well, it's because it's the Koch brothers. I'm assuming it's a hugely thing. Was quite seriously funded by the Koch brothers. And there were actually times when the Koch brothers were saying in public, which is unusual for them to crawl out from another rock and speak, that they were looking forward to Scott Walker being the candidate. And so my question is, now that Scott Walker has dropped out, I would like us to follow the bouncing ball. In the old days when we'd do sing-alongs on TV, there'd be a bouncing ball following the words. I think it would be interesting to follow the bouncing ball of where are the Koch brothers going to fund next?
I have a comment and a question. I really liked Scott Walker because of what he did in his state to balance the budget and also went against the union that I didn't have much use for because their union organizer, the teachers union, got up and one of them got up and said, "You think school is about educating your children. School is about protecting teachers' jobs." That guy just ought to be put down. Ooh, that was harsh of me. And the other is, tell me about these Koch brothers. Who are they, and why are they important?
I can't say that I know exactly who the Koch brothers are. I believe they are actually brothers. And I believe they inherited a tremendous amount of money from their father or family, and that they've always been behind the scenes helping push any scene. And, I mean, we're talking tremendously wealthy. Somebody in chat at WebEx could look that up. That would be great because there's probably some place where it talks about that easily available. But they've always been behind the scenes moving the lobbying world, moving candidates, quietly putting, or not so quietly, putting funds in. And as I said facetiously about them crawling out from a rock, they don't appear in public. They don't speak in public very often. They speak by where they put their millions to billions of dollars. And I don't know what industries, if any, they are in now, or if they're just at that level where they have so much money, they just make money off of money. But it was quite surprising when I found out that, you know, not only did Scott Walker drop out, but that they had funded him. I'm surprised they let that occur. And that they didn't, well, I don't know, what's the, in the fictional story in line in my mind, that they could, you know, buy a TV network that was pro-Scott Walker and run it that way. I mean, they really are tremendously wealthy and pretty bad, in my opinion, what they support and what they advocate for. They're also anti-union because they, I believe, do own many corporations. And unions are, you know, can be stupid and can be bad, but at least it gives workers some kind of rights in theory and some kind of, you know, organization to speak for them. But that's going away. So that's who the Koch brothers are that I know of. And as they say, maybe somebody at chat at WebEx we'll have more information. Oh, here's a great link. I'll put this in the other chat from Dale. Thanks. The Koch brothers spearhead the Agenda 21 takeover of Colorado. So, yeah, that's the Koch brothers. They're that kind of, you know, operation where it's like, we'll just bowl over this and make this happen. That's who we are. We're so big, we really don't care about what anybody else thinks. We're right, and you're not. So there's that.
Okay, lots of chat going on over here. And just as it is in national politics, in our chat, there's a lot of opinions about who is doing what, why. And when we look at the Koch brothers and you're saying they're controlling everything with money, isn't that what Donald Trump is doing in this presidential campaign sort of getting ahead and controlling with money?
Well, yeah, because he's, you know, he has nobody funding him. He's, oddly enough, this is so weird that I'd actually even use these two names in the same sentence. Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have something in common. Well, not quite. What they have in common is that they don't have any big lobby group behind them. Oh, I suspect at this point people are coming to Donald quietly and saying, we don't care how much money you have, we're here to help you. Bernie Sanders has raised funds by getting in small donations from, I heard him speak recently, and like a half a million people have donated $31 or less to his campaign. So there is no funding. And Donald is really managing it because, A, as he said in his early days before I think somebody took him backstage and said, you really shouldn't say that. You know, the touting and chest beating of, I'm rich. I'm really, really rich. I don't need any of your money. I can do whatever I want. And that's sort of Donald's position. And I think he manages media by being willing to say whatever comes to the top of his, you know, toupee. Well, actually, he keeps saying that's his own hair. And, you know, just shooting from the hip and just speaking glibly because he doesn't care. He's a billionaire multiple times over, although he's had several failed bankruptcies. He's now back to being a billionaire. And he doesn't have funding behind him. Although he did have a gaffe. One of the things I wanted to mention is that he did have this amazing gaffe that occurred that is being now brought up. He had a recent PR event in San Diego on a decommissioned warship. And it was, you know, because everything Donald Trump does is covered by media because he's the hot media, you know, of the moment. And he was doing a fundraiser for a veterans organization that I don't want to use the name for because they're now under suspicion. That it seems that this veterans organization had contacted Donald and said, would you come speak for us? And Donald, of course, took it and turned it into a monster event covered by national news. Well, now it's being poked at and looked at that it may, I'm saying may because we don't know legally yet, that the veterans organization, which is a big organization on Facebook, that Donald said, I want to really thank and support the hundreds of thousands of members of this organization, rah, 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 and blah, 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 and more chest beating. Well, it seems that the organization really is manned by one person, and he will not answer anybody's inquiries. He did have a nonprofit. He lost his nonprofit status because he hasn't filed taxes or reported anything that he's supposed to. So there's all that. So on top of that, because the event occurred in San Diego, it's now possible that Donald participated in what would be legally defined as an illegal event because it would be funds being gathered to an organization that did not have the proper tax status in California at the time of the event.
Whoa.
So really for me, it's not as much about the... Well, it's all about the fact that that's a bad thing to happen. But part of what the real thing that shines the light for me on Donald is he's the one that keeps calling everybody accountable and how they make bad decisions. And he's the biggest, baddest ass, businessman in the world. And he could negotiate with everybody. Here he's participating in an event where 5 minutes on Google would give you more information about this organization that you would go, maybe not.
You were just trying to say he was a donkey, weren't you?
Yes, I was. That's correct. He's an animal in a barn kicking and hee-hawing. And he is kind of an animal in a barn kicking and hee-hawing, although I like donkeys more than that. So it's really about, you know, here he is claiming to be the world's best businessman and how he can negotiate with everybody, and yet he's participating in an event that was evidently completely not vetted by anybody in his organization, even though he is the world's smartest businessman. In his own mind.
Well, we did some things on Trump, and we're going to look at the other candidates too. But 4 years ago, Trump, we reported that he had a backdoor deal, that he was really just saying he was going to run for president because he wanted to bring out things that no other candidate could afford to bring out, and that was the birth stuff. But when we look at Donald Trump this year, this is what his vocal print looks like, for those of you who are familiar with vocal prints. And all of his frequencies are in a childlike naivete, not even in fantasy. He has no foundation. He has nothing in gut level, no information in male or female octaves. It's all in childlike naivete. This tells me, again, that Donald Trump doesn't have any foundational need or relationship with being president. He just wants to think that he can dictate and control the issues. So he really doesn't care what he thinks. But I have let's just go look at it. They say Bernie Sanders, your guide to the president, Bernie Sanders, they say, is a socialist. I want to know what socialism is, because he's drawing near to Hillary Clinton, although nobody ever heard of Bernie Sanders, or hardly anybody. But Hillary is losing, she's just cutting her own throat. Ooh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. They'll come after me. But socialism, they say he's a socialist, a political and economic theory of social organization that advocates that the means of production, distribution, and exchange should be owned and regulated by the community as a whole, meaning really no government. And I think the government was originally put here to protect us, not to run our lives and dictate what is going on. One of the women here in the office, they held up her, I think it was a state income refund, and she had to go in and fill out papers. And she had to say who was living with her, where her children were now, did they have jobs, who they were living with. She had to report on her neighbors and her family before they would give her her refund. Boy, that stinks. Are you just jumping up and down here, Richard?
I'm breathing in slowly. I'm exhaling slowly. I'm pulling up some of the interview from last Sunday about breathing. It's just mind-boggling how the bureaucracy is just out of control completely. That it's just I can't come up with any words to describe what I want to say. But it's just, yes, steam is shooting out my ears. It's unbelievable.
Well, when you look at some of the things that they're doing, okay, children are overweight as a whole, so here's a WICS program run by the government that's dictating what children up to 2 years of age eat. And they're giving them GMO cereals. They're giving them only skim milk, no whole milk that their brain needs. Here's Michelle Obama's government program of what's going on in the schools, and you can't take your own lunch now in Chicago. They dictate what you're going to eat. And in one such case, I think it was, they took away a sandwich and a banana and something else because it didn't have a vegetable with it, and gave the kid chicken McNuggets. So even down to what we are eating, certainly our medication, our water, where we can drive, who we can talk to, and now political candidates. I think one of the best things I want to see out of this entire presidential campaign is I want somebody to win that's not a politician. Let's go down through and look at some of these people. I think Jeb Bush is first in this, maybe because it's alphabetical. If he would win, it would be the only brother set that's ever been president. But he's like third or fourth. He doesn't appear very strong. People see him as we didn't like the other Bush, why are we going to like this one? And so he was trying to separate himself. I've not done his vocal print, but we probably should. But he's definitely a politician, and I think that's what he's got going against him. Ben Carson, not a politician. I've done his voice. Let me see if I can bring it up. He started out with a prayer breakfast where President Obama was sitting there, and he said to all of these people that we ought to get along, that the representation of our government was a piebald, the bald eagle, piebald really meaning white-headed. And he said there's a left wing and there's a right wing, and those wings must move together to take flight and to feed the bird and to be alive. President Obama made such faces. Go look at it. It's on YouTube. Ben Carson's prayer breakfast. And the White House and Obama demanded an apology. Think of that. Demanded an apology because he used that analogy that the left and the right did not get along. This is Ben Carson's announcement for president. And for those of you who have seen vocal prints before, and I would encourage all of you to come and look at this. He gut level, there's very little. On the male level, he's incredibly solid. And where he is most solid and well beyond anything else is in justice and fairness. Normal is 42. His score here is 242. And the next score to that is 45. And that's the note of F sharp. Now, I've written all this up, and we're going to post it on our site so you can go look at it. And I'll post it under, I think, in the news. So he does have a way to carry out. He doesn't have a plan yet, or he didn't when this was done. And this is June 16th. He didn't have a plan, but he's certainly willing to carry it out for justice. And the other thing I really loved about his, in fantasy about truth and justice, he has a score of 413. I would think he would make an incredibly solid president. But people are going to kick my butt when I say this. Obama has so ruined the reputation of a black leader, I think that's going to go against Carson. Do you have any feelings about that? Richard, are you there?
No, I'm thinking that was the sound of silence.
You want to look at it again?
Yeah, that was great.
I'll put it back on the screen. This is wonderful. And it's all connected through D.
And so what is it? So what is that second line up that's solid across? What is that?
Male.
That.
Yeah, this is the male foundation, female foundation. But look at how solid he is in the note of D. And it's all the way through, and the note of D is helping other people. Of all the candidates, he is the most solid. And he's not letting other people flap him. He's in second position right now. And if you look at what's going on right now, and I think Trump is going to drop out as soon as he brings up these issues that everybody else was afraid to bring up, that's why he's not caring what's going on in what he's saying. And I think Trump is going to come back and say, I said Carly Fiorina was ugly to make her stronger. I said that person was this to make him stronger, just like he says in his show, The Apprentice. He tells people things and just smacks them around to make them stronger. And I think that's going to be his excuse here, too. I don't think he wants the presidency. We've looked at this. He's in this to help other people emotionally, but he really doesn't have any foundation. And he's willing to martyr himself for a good cause. And you'll be able to read these. So, Ben Carson. I would love it if Ben Carson came out on top. Okay, Chris Christie, he's going to drop out. Nobody can forgive him for hugging Obama when he was helping with that hurricane that happened up there. He's tough. He's much like Trump, and he says what he wants. He doesn't care who he insults. But I think he's not, they've got something against him, even though we proved with bioacoustics that he was telling the truth. And that's available for you guys to read, too. We announced months before he was ever exonerated. And I think they think he is just too much of a bully, too arrogant. And I think they also kind of see him as running with the pack of people that are going to bully. I think there's people are somewhere seeing a connection with, boy, I don't have to say this without getting myself in trouble. They're seeing him running like a gangster. They're seeing him in that mode of bullying.
I would refer to him as a thug.
Okay, gangster.
I'm not particular. For me, I'm not particularly interested in the president of the United States being a thug, even if he is speaking the truth. Just the style and the mannerism. There needs to be a little bit of aplomb in being a negotiator, not sort of that Donald Trump angle of like, I know best and screw the rest of you. And Christie has a bit too much of that for my palate.
Yeah, I like that, a thug. Ted Cruz, I don't know much about. He will very likely drop out. We did not do any evaluations on him. I like this idea that he came from a poor environment, he would relate more to the people, but I think still he's a politician. Didn't he have some really good ideas about money? I can't remember what his campaign was based on. Carly Fiorina came from total behind. She's in third place now. And she sums up some things that I think are incredibly important in this election. And I know in our chat there's been some pretty flat-out Fiorina anti, whatever you call it. People are entitled to that. But let's look at her voice. Let's hear what she has to say first. I like what she had to say, and I did her vocal print as this was going on.
Why people are supporting outsiders. It's because you know what happens if someone's been in the system their whole life, they don't know how broken the system is. A fish swims in water, it doesn't know it's water. It's not that politicians are bad people, it's that they've been in that system forever. The truth is 75% of the American people think the government is corrupt. 82% of the American people think these problems that have festered for 50 years in some cases, 25 years in other cases, the border's been insecure for 25 years. 307,000 veterans have died waiting for health care. These things have gone on for so long because no one will challenge the status quo. You know what a leader does? They challenge the status quo, they solve problems that have festered for a long time, and they produce results. That is what my whole life has been about. People know this is about far more than replacing a D with an R. This is
one of the things that was I said on a national radio show about a month or so ago is the only way that they're going to get rid of Donald Trump is to attack people who would vote for him and say people who vote for Trump are uneducated and dumb. Carly Fiorina is saying exactly what the people want to hear. And the way they're going to defeat her is to go look at her background. And I think they're all lying. I will not believe a presidential campaign or what do they call all of these people who get together and put money in the pot? What do they call those? PAC. I don't believe any of these PACs. I don't believe Hillary Clinton. I believed Bill before. I'd believe her. But then he says and twists things. And remember, these people are lawyers. And when he said, I didn't have sexual intercourse with that woman, he didn't explain, well, that he had other kinds of sexual interactions, but it wasn't actual intercourse. So you have to be really, really careful about what all of these people say. But when you look at Carly Fiorina, gut level, not a lot there. So she doesn't think at this point, she's not hungry for the job. She does have a very strong male foundation, and it's strongest in G-sharp, which means that she's willing to work for a useful physical outcome. But if you looked at Carson, where the most of his hits over the different ranges was in D, helping other people, Fiorina's is in the note of E, being able to use words. She still has some holes in C-sharp. Actually, she has nothing in C-sharp, and that's been Carson's strongest point. If we just looked at their vocal print and didn't look at their past, didn't look at what people are saying about them, Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina are a very incredible pair. Now, I've got Fiorina's up there. Look at C-sharp. No C-sharp. Here's Ben Carson, full of C-sharp. So it looks like, as a pair, they make one good person, where he's very much into helping people with this big amount of D in his notes. She's willing to work at G. D and G-sharp are pairs that work together to get things done from a physical perspective for the people. She also has a 69 in G, which means she's willing to listen to somebody else's plan. She has a big plan of her own and a willingness and a way to carry things out, where Carson doesn't have that, where she has in F sharp a 67, he has a 45. So if we would just trust our gut in just what these people are saying right now, and I do believe Trump is going to fall out, I believe the best pair here is for Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina. And I know a lot of you don't like past backgrounds and whatever. I don't know that anybody can find fault with Carson's background, but there's been a lot coming out about Fiorina, Carly Fiorina. And I think part of that in proof is coming out from the Clinton administration, because they're afraid of her as a woman.
Unfortunately, I want to jump in for a minute about Fiorina. Unfortunately, I saw her speak, not in person, but on a video. She was at a small conference speaking where she was walking on the floor with a bunch of people talking about environmental issues. And at some point, her off-the-cuff response about climate change and environmental issues was basically came down to, well, large countries like China aren't going to do anything about it, and others aren't going to come on board if we try to make change, so therefore why should we try to make change? And once she stepped away, you know, that's sort of, in a certain way, knowing some of her history at Hewlett-Packard, she has a cut-and-dried style, and when it comes to, again, you know, looking at environmental issues and saying, like, well, if they don't want to do it, why should we? That doesn't work for me. So she's moved way down the list.
Yeah, she needs educated. I like some of the other things that she's saying. Are any of them environmentalists?
Not really. Nothing in this crowd that I can think of. I actually don't know much about Bernie's stand on environmental issues as well, now that I think about it.
I think Kasich is going to drop out. He's trying to help the Ohio environment, but he only has local support, so I don't think he's going to do anything. He's down way at the bottom. He was there at the first debate, which I loved it, that the TV stations took a hold of this and said, we're going to have something to say about it. We're not going to wait till the Democratic or Republican committee want to do something. We're going to bring this to the people in our way, and we are going to ask the questions that we want to ask. So CNN, I think, did a better job than Fox, because Fox, to me, had an absolute agenda for what was going on. And I like the agendas of anti-vaccines, and that's causing a problem. You know, one of the people that Biden was thinking about having run with him was Elizabeth Warren. And she was on the House floor talking about we all need to get a herd mentality, and if your kid is going to have a problem, so be it. Just stiff upper lip, and if they die, well, that's okay too, because we have to do best by the herd. You know, if it's your kid, you're not going to feel that way. Her presentation, and go look it up on YouTube, her presentation was so stupid. I just yelled at the TV. Okay. She was thinking about a Biden-Warren. Let's go back. I want to look at something about Obama saying to Biden, and now withholding this, and this was Personal Liberty, and I don't remember who wrote it, but that Obama is withholding endorsement of Biden because he wants to name Biden's running mate. I think people will disagree, because a vote for Biden is a vote for Obama. Much of the same. But one of the things that just got to me, Obama is insisting, oh, where is it here? Well, he's looking at Governor of Massachusetts, Devil Patrick, a close Obama ally who's the first and only Afro-American to have served as governor of the Bay State. And the other thing that this article says is that Biden must promise Obama not to seek a second term so that his vice president can then become president, so there will be two black presidents. I'm going to put this into the chat. I think Obama has such an inflated opinion of himself and his family, I wouldn't put it past him to put Hillary up as the vice president. I did see an article about her thinking about running. What a silliness. But I think Obama so hates Hillary, and we'll look at some of Hillary's stuff here in a second. Hillary is killing herself with the lies, especially the lies about Benghazi. And nobody has really brought that out. I think they might be saving it to last. But here is Hillary about being president. It's all in her head. It's all yellow. It's all D sharp, E and F. E, I have the words. I can talk the talk. She also has a strong male character, and her highest notes here are 125 on E, words. She's a bit scattered. Okay, so let's look at what she said on Benghazi. These are the final reports on Benghazi. Now imagine this. She and Obama are standing at a podium in a hangar, and behind them are the hearses and the airplanes that are bringing back the four people, including the ambassador, that were killed in Benghazi. and they're saying, it was the fault of this video. We're going to get this guy. You know, they did put him in jail. Nothing really happened. It wasn't the video. They proved it wasn't the video. And here she is. She's not telling the truth about this. It's all yellow. It's all in her head. No blue. She's not feeling any of it. And Obama is standing right there with her. And if you know about vocal prints, there is a great gap, which means they're not telling the truth. So here she has this male foundation in the note of E, and we did several samples here. But you look up in fantasy 394, remember 42 is about normal, 394 in fantasy about words, and then 315 fantasy about truth, honesty, and justice. And I think truth, honesty, and justice, and the fact that the people want a non-politician in there, because they know, like lawyers, politicians and lawyers, and a lot of politicians are lawyers, they kind of go together, and we're not going to get a fair shake out here. So I think people have begun to listen and feel what a candidate is saying. Now, you take Hillary stuff as opposed to the Benghazi men, the 13 hours, when they were talking about what really happened that Hillary was denying, and this is one of the Benghazi men, strong gut foundation, strong male foundation, very little in fantasy is connected to anything. So I think this fantasy is, if we go on TV and we write this book, and they were really reluctant to write this book, they think they could make a difference. Now, this foundation is what Trump has missing. There is hardly anything here when we look at Trump's presidential announcement. Let me bring that up. Can you see that there's just no foundation? It's all up here in fantasy about helping other people to do it. And this childlike naivete. I was shocked here. I would have never thought Trump would show up as being childlike or naive. But he really thinks that what he is bringing out and the issues that he's bringing out are really going to make a difference. Let's go look at some of the other presidential candidates. We haven't done all of them. Jim Gilmore, I don't know a thing about Jim Gilmore, and I just heard this kind of on the periphery until I opened up this file about looking at the presidential candidates. I will put this also in the chat for people. And when we post it online, I will give this link. Dale says, a thrifty Marco Rubio is poised to capitalize on Walker's exit. I know a lot about Walker, but not much about Rubio. Is he the one that had the new financial plan? Boy, and I would vote for anybody that has a financial plan to rein in the IRS. I want the soldiers taken care of. I want the IRS reined in. I want to get money changing hands out of politics. Anybody that's in there 25, 30 years ought to go. Anybody who gives themselves a raise while other people are getting their benefits cut ought to go. I just saw a thing. Hold on a second. I just saw a thing about how much, this ticks me off and I should have announced, how much Obama spent on vacations, family vacations, since he took office. It was like $44 million. Yeah, $44 million. $351,777.12. Millions. He didn't pay that. We did, for them to go to China and Spain. And this is right back to putting money in the pockets of the politicians. I did not know Lindsey Graham was running for president. I haven't seen him on the debate, but he's in here. Mike Huckabee, I really like Mike Huckabee. He has a very religious bent. I have not done him as a presidential candidate. I know he quit his job at Fox to do this because he really felt there needed to be a change. He and Ben Carson hold similar ideas about Christianity and what should or shouldn't happen. But I haven't done his print. Bobby Jindal, I have not done his print either. You think he has a chance? Richard?
It's really hard to imagine. I don't know that I've heard his name, but I mean, just from listening to what's being talked about there, I haven't heard anything good or bad about him at all, so he's had no press. So it's hard to imagine that suddenly he would become a, you know, top runner.
I think people look at him and decide that he shouldn't be a presidential candidate. I think they have this idea of the top politicians of being white old men, because that's the idea of wisdom. And I think these young people coming up who have these wonderful ideas, and people don't vote for them for that because they're young. They're what I call ageist, like a
sexist,
but an ageist. So be strong. John Kasich, I just think he's going to fall out. He has very little national appeal. George Pataki, I didn't know he was running. Rand Paul, he's letting his temper get away with him. And we have done some prints on him. Let's see if I can find one. He doesn't have the savvy and the people behind him that his father did. He did part with his father when his father was running and said something against the father's campaign. And I think that's what's making people not trust him. But I like some of the ideas of him getting rid of this very complicated tax system. I like the penny plan. Don't pay taxes. Just every time you spend, a penny goes to the government. Because right now we're looking at, I earn money here at my company. 64% of it goes to taxes. 64%. So I'm working 7 months just to pay the taxes. I'm talking about employment and unemployment and getting hurt on the job and income tax is crazy. So we pay taxes on the same money again and again. I pay taxes when I earn it. You pay taxes when you get a paycheck, and then you go buy groceries and you pay tax there. So it's crazy that the same money is being taxed over and over and over again. I just saw the other day $1.9 million, and this is getting very, very noisy. Can you hear that, Richard? A lot of static in the line.
I can, and I can hear it, but I don't know what that is. I can't figure it out. I've been working on trying to eliminate it, and it's not coming from us.
$1.9 million went to the same address in Pakistan. I think like 100 and some fake refunds, and they didn't catch it. And they can't catch the people. $1.9 million. What a good start or seed money for terrorists. Vic Perry, governor of Texas, if he'd have got in, there was a big scandal about him and Big Pharma that never came out, that one of his underlings took some kind of bribe or something from Big Pharma to get Texas to make Gardasil shots mandatory. and then so many women got sick and died that they began an investigation. So that would have been against him. Marco Rubio, I think he is at 11% now, maybe, fourth. See what he's running on. Cuban descent, most notable influence, support of conservative immigration reform, you know, Cuban-American relationship. I think if Jeb Bush decides to run and there's an issue with Mexico and immigration, the fact that his wife is Mexican, I think people are really going to use that against him. I would be surprised unless there's something really low down and dirty go on that Jeb Bush, I don't think, is going to come to the top of any of this. Rick Santorum, I don't know much about him. He had some early leads. I didn't know this about him, a film company that produces Christian films. Conservative issues, ban on abortion. Why can't we just say, leave people alone? Let them make their own food and health and gun decisions. Now, guns, I can see that there needs to be some issues or some controls. But when you begin to look at the idea of guns, and we had a woman named Gwen Olson on not long ago, and she said most of these people who are mowing down people and killing 10, 20 people at a time, most of them have been on psychiatric drugs. Do you remember her saying that, Richard?
I do, yes. Yeah, she was a pharmaceutical rep for 15 years, and she talked about that as a very issue, that there was a high percentage of that.
So here's Trump. I think he is there. In my opinion, I think he's going to drop out and give his support to probably Carson. I don't know for sure, but watch who people are fighting with. Carson and Trump has exchanged a few words, but not really. I think Trump has this idea in mind that we need to make America great, take back America, and that's the same thing that Ben Carson is running on, where there's a lot of garbage business-wise in Trump's past and also in Carly Fiorina's past. There isn't that kind of thing in Ben Carson. So I think this will shake loose, and Carson is either going to be in the number one or number two spot. And I think the way the GOP is looking at this, where there's a competition for the women vote, I think they'll consider greatly Carly, unless something comes out about her past. I think they'll consider Carly Fiorina as that second person, as a counter to Hillary. And I don't think the Democrats, if these are the only three people, right, I don't think the Democrats have a prayer unless somebody rigs the election. And that's already been brought up where Bill Clinton was concerned, and a couple of others. The last election, where there was a whole family in this one precinct, and every one of them voted for Romney, but when the precinct results came out, that precinct went 100% to Obama. And they tried to sue, and they had no standing. So there's ways to rig this election. Now, Scott Walker has dropped out. I think he's done a great job with his state. He's brought it into balance financially. But when you see some of the things that the labor people did to him, picketing him, came through the windows of the state house, he's really had a tough row to hoe here. But I think he is a strong person for the job. Joe Biden, we've already looked at that. We don't know who the running mate is going to be. Elizabeth Warren has been brought up, but then you saw the article of Obama saying controversial writer Edward Klein, and he did write Edward Klein. I think he's the one that wrote the book about Hillary and what was really behind everything that they did. I think we did a show about the book that he did, especially among progressives for making outrageous claims called crazy, but this one, or at least some of it, doesn't sound so far-fetched. Klein is blogging that President Obama is playing the leverage game with current Vice President Joe Biden in order to exert outsized control over the future of a Biden White House. People are going to see this and say, it's just nothing but a vote for Obama. If Obama could, he'd probably run again or run his wife. Just because he thinks he's really cared about and really loved. I think he's so protected by, what's this lady that lives with him? Valerie came with him from Chicago. And it's, the story's out that she makes a lot of the decisions. And yeah, Valerie Jarrett, thank you, Dale. That she makes a lot of the decisions. That may be who he chooses, but talk of the Democratic Party is that Barack Obama has told Joe Biden that he is prepared to endorse him for president if, in return, Biden promises to let Obama have the final say in the choice of his vice president running mate. In addition, there is speculation among top Democrat sources that Obama has another quid pro quo for his endorsement. He wants Biden to choose an Afro-American as his vice president running mate, and it gets worse. And in this scenario, which Obama has not yet fully explained to Biden, Biden would promise to serve only one term in the White House, after which he would back his vice president to succeed him. Can we stand? Do we want 8 more years of Obama and Obamacare and oppression and taking away our rights to the point that it is just absolutely phenomenal what is being asked? Now, a lot of you knew I fell off a two-story balcony and broke my back. And some of the things, when they are taking x-rays again, just to see how I'm doing, and I'm using my sounds, we have sounds for broken back, they're asking me questions. Do I have a gun? How many times a week do I have sex? Do I have sex with anyone outside of my husband? I mean, some of the crazy stuff Obama administration is demanding that they get to know about my private life. How many trips do I make? How many times do I go out of the state? What routes do I use mostly? Do I fly in an airplane? Why not? Because I hate the TSA. But those kinds of things are none of the government's business. To me, the government is supposed to be protecting us, not setting us up to be their workers so they can grab money from us to fill their own pocket. And that's exactly what's happening. They're in bed with Big Pharma. You know, there was a thing on the news yesterday that a pill that costs $13.50 a day for some cancer thing or some horrendous thing now is over $1,200 a pill, and that price went up in one day, and it's being allowed to happen, and nobody's challenging it. Look at the lies about Fukushima. They can control the air we breathe. No, we can get clean air machines. They can control our health. This is where I'm going to invite all of you to join us on the Guardian program, which is a private expression group that we are providing software and education to so that you can look at what's happening to your body before it happens. Predictive medicine. And in this expressive group that our attorney has set up, we can share things with you and you can try experimental things. And even if doctors are in there, they can't go after them for practicing alternative medicine or anything else, because this is a private group. And that private group is going to be starting bioacoustic research centers all over the country. So if you don't want to use these softwares to do it yourself. You can walk into their office and say, have you done anything on Biden? Have you done anything on Obama or whoever else is going on, or these Koch brothers? Have you done anything on them? Has your national organization done anything? Because I want to see. I want to know the truth. I want to make my vote count by counting for something that is aligned with what I'm feeling and what I want for this country. So we do Direction for Truth because you have a right to know. And we want to provide the software and the tools for that knowledge for you and your community. And that is totally beside what we do with looking at health and gathering data. A whole other side of that. So two things. If you want to be part of the Guardian, go to soundhealthoptions.com. It says Guardians of the People, and it's under classes. Read about it. See if you want to be part of it. You get free software when you join up, and then a software a month. I think it's $40 a month for a two-hour class and a software, and we teach you how to use all of it. If you want to be part of our free classes to take to your community, and really we're teaching you to teach this in your community, and you keep the money. We'll help you do it. You know, you can make the money to do it. It's so important to us that this information be shared, that Richard and I get on our soapbox every week, twice a week, to share this information to make a better life, to make a better future. Thank you for being here. Richard, do you have any last words?
Yikes. It's, yes. No, I think I don't. I think I'll save that.
We could invite
It's all amazing. It's just stunning that, you know, I have to say this one thing. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. You know, it just blows my mind, having been a photojournalist in the 70s and watching, you know, the actions going on, that Congress is, you know, particularly the right side, the Republican side of Congress, is wanting to defund Planned Parenthood. Because a very tiny percentage of what goes to Planned Parenthood is helping women with abortions, but the other, like, 97% is helping women with health care and helping also men with health care. But Congress wants to define them. There's this creepy agenda that so many of the power-hitting politicians and their groups, their covens, want to take away people's rights. They want to, you know, really go after women and take away their rights for their, you know, to do and to take care of their bodies in the way that is good for them as individuals. That theoretically we have rights and privileges in the United States.
It's about money.
But there are so many people that are trying to take those rights and privileges away because they think they know better. It appalls me.
I don't think there's a word wrong enough for what they're doing in trying to control every aspect of our lives. America was founded on freedom. We want it back. And if you like this show, please share it on your Twitter, on your Facebook. I don't think we were able to record it here. I think the only place you're going to be able to get it is Blog Talk Radio. Because
right,
I got
and you can find all of Sherry's all the shows that Sherry and I have done at iTunes. If you're so inclined to go there, search for Sherry Edwards and you'll see all the shows there. You can also go to back to soundhealthoptions.com and choose the Blog Talk Radio tab, and that same link will take you to the page where you'll be able to find all the shows we've done and another we're called podcast aggregators that are applications that go on your phones so that you can listen to radio shows or podcasts there as well.
I really appreciate you being here and being wanting to be part of making a difference. That's incredible that there's still people out there who want to make a difference, who want to share this. We had a very young person in here recently and was interviewing for a job, and he said, what kind of job can there be here? You guys don't have anything to sell. Nobody wants this. Everybody wants it done for them, and that's where you better get on the wagon. does nobody wants to help anybody anymore. And I said, you don't know how wrong you are. This guy was like 19 years old. I said, if that was true, there'd be nobody in medical school, nobody in nursing school, there'd be no teachers. So this young generation needs to wake up that there are really people out here who want to help. And we want to help by providing you tools and solutions for self-help and self-responsibility. So help us spread the word. Thank you very much for your chat. There's been a lot of them. Look at this. Somebody, Michelle Obama to jump in race for president. There is really a link to that. Good grief. Go into chat. Just click in there. Click Control A and it'll all turn blue. And then Control C, save that chat. There is probably 100 good links in there. And I'll shut up, Richard.
Glad that you're feeling so much better, A. And B, thanks, everybody. That was fun. No, this isn't happy hour. This doesn't have to be fun. That's right. But it was pretty good. I look forward to seeing you guys on Sunday. I believe that our guest is Anne Gadzikowski. I wrote a book about creating a beautiful mess about learning for kids. How, you know, being messy can be good. I'm looking forward to that. I've got the messy part down. All right, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you on Sunday. Thanks, Sherry.
Bye, Richard.
Bye.
Later.